This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome to the Portuguese American Hour. I am Justice Neves. With me, as always, Dennis Borges.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you, Justice.
Welcome, welcome, Dur.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
On this, as we are in the eves of the new year, 2020 is upon us.
Oh, yeah.
Happy New Year, everyone. As we say in Portuguese, Feliz Ano Novo. So we have a full-packed program today, Justice.
And
we
have the ground running.
Yeah, we're going to get off the ground running for sure. We have on the line our first guest, the Portuguese American Hour. Again, welcome, everyone. And our, as you all know, Portuguese American Hour is a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno, here at Fresno State. And our first guest is a fellow teacher, a colleague, a dear friend, Edwina Azevedo. Is a Portuguese language teacher at the Hillmar School District at Hillmar High School. And she is also the president of a cultural foundation in the city of Turlock. And we'll be talking mostly about that, but also a little bit about, obviously, her experience with the Portuguese language. And she is a graduate, if I'm not mistaken. If I'm wrong, she will correct me, obviously, of Fresno State. Welcome, Edwina.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being with us. And you are a graduate of Fresno State. I know you're a master's from here, correct?
Yes. That is correct. My bachelor's is from Stanislaus, but my master's is from Fresno State, and that is where I first started teaching Portuguese.
That's right. You taught here for a few semesters, correct?
A couple semesters.
Beginning
of my career. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. And from then, you went from here, from Fresno State, you went back to the northern part of the valley, the Hillmar-Turlock area, and I know you also taught at Stanislaus State, correct?
Correct, yes.
And then at Hillmar High School, you have basically flourished that program, and congrats to you. But let's talk a little bit about the Portuguese Foundation. I know it has a long name, so help me with the name, please.
The Portuguese Education Foundation of Central California.
Okay, and you are the president. I know you've been president for a couple of years. Tell us a little bit about why the foundation exists and what it does.
Well, the foundation was created in 1991, actually, to promote the Portuguese language and especially to incentivize Portuguese descendants, Luso-American students, to continue their studies and to continue to be involved in the Portuguese community, in the Portuguese language, and in the Portuguese culture. So our purpose is to basically we fundraise for scholarships. Our purpose is to bring the Portuguese culture, but not just the culture, everything about what it is about being Portuguese to our students. And we like to help them out with a little bit of cash on the side.
Correct. And one of the major events actually just happened a little over a month ago is the foundation dinner. Tell us a little bit about that. That usually happens, I believe, like in November.
Yes, it's usually the week before Thanksgiving this time because Thanksgiving was a little bit later. It was earlier, but it is our banquet. It is our anniversary celebration. It is also when we hand out our scholarships.
And during this event, you handed out the scholarships. And one of the unique things that I love about that dinner, I unfortunately had missed it this year, I try to go to it every year. I've been going to it for, I don't know, many years, for at least 15 to 16 years at least, and probably even more than that. But the wonderful thing about this this event, this dinner, which, as you mentioned, is usually the Friday before Thanksgiving, so people, we invite people to put it in their calendar, especially if you're from that part of the valley, the Turlock, Hillmar, Merced County, and Stanislaus County areas. is I love seeing all the different organizations going to the stage and announcing that they will be giving a scholarship, or in other words, funding part of a scholarship or all of a scholarship that will be given by the foundation. How does that work? Can you tell us a little bit about that uniqueness? Because I think it's the only where that I've seen, it's the only place that that has happened in the Portuguese American community.
Well, we are very, very grateful, very thankful to our local organizations. We're talking about fraternal societies, festa organizations. They're really, truly the ones that support our foundation and our scholarships. If it weren't for them, we would not be able to do what we do. And they very graciously come to the stage and let us know if they'll be giving a donation. Usually, like you said, they cover at least one or two, if not more, scholarships.
And also you have for Dia de Portugal, for those of in our listening audience who don't know, Dia de Portugal or Portugal Day is June 10th. And one of the events that the foundation puts together is to fundraise for scholarships. And it's a fun event, a golf course, a golf tournament. Golf course is a different place. That's where the golf tournament happens. So it's a golf tournament. Tell us a little bit about that and obviously the purpose of it as well.
Well, it's another fundraising event, and it's actually interesting. The golf course, well, normally we hold it at Diablo Grande out in Patterson. Unfortunately, the golf course has closed this year.
Oh.
And so we are looking for a new venue.
Mm-hmm.
We are still hoping to hold it on or around the Portugal, June 10th. We were hoping to do it June 8th this year because normally it falls on a Monday and that's when the golf course is available for us to do it. We are looking. Mm-hmm. We plan on having it.
Mm-hmm.
It's still on the calendar. We will have our next event will be the Fado night and wine tasting, but we are definitely hoping to have our golf tournament. It's an event we've been doing for many years and we enjoy it. Like I said, it's a lot of fun to get out there and play, and then dinner will be included, and normally we do an auction. It's also one of our fundraising events, so of course we're always hoping to get more scholarships.
Right, right. It's a good way to celebrate the Portugal with a fun event where people are together. One other thing that you just mentioned, which is the Fado and wine tasting event, and I've seen it already on social media. It's on April 25th, the evening of April 25th, a Saturday evening. So mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that event itself. That's also, I imagine, another fundraiser, but it's kind of unique in that you combine two things. That are, Portuguese do like their wine, mm-hmm. and obviously Fado is our soul music.
Yeah, absolutely. We invite, and I've been very lucky to have actually been the teacher of several of our musicians in the past,
mm-hmm.
but we invite musicians and singers, fadistas, who come out. A lot of them just donate their time and sing for us for an evening of Fado. We have wine tasting. East Lake Ranch is a beautiful property. I know you've been out there, and a lot of people have enjoyed it. It's a gorgeous property. Mary and Joe Betancourt are so such gracious hosts. They always offered a place for us to hold our event because they know this is for a great cause. So this year will be April 25th, so Dia de Liberdade, mm-hmm. which will be wonderful. Be another great celebration to add to what we do. We have new singers, and I was actually just speaking to one of our directors about it. I'm really excited to bring new talent because mm-hmm. Our foundation is about the young people. It's about not just scholarships for education that is related to the Portuguese language, but also bringing young people into the Portuguese culture. And when we're able to support young musicians, mm-hmm. young fadistas, and their coming out here and showing their interest in our culture, their culture also, the culture of their parents and grandparents and so on, it's really exciting for us. So not only it's an event for us to provide for more scholarships and for other students, it's also for us to see our own youth grow in the Portuguese culture.
Fantastic. And that's April 25th. We actually have an event here at Fresno State in the morning. So those of you that are planning attending the event here in the morning, then take a short drive to the event is in Turlock, correct?
Yes, Lake Ranch in Turlock. Yes.
So take a short drive. It's only about an hour and 15 minutes from here, and enjoy the evening there. You'll be selling tickets for that event pretty soon, I'm sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we will be starting very soon. We actually just worked out our flyers today.
Fantastic. So let us know, and we'll be more than happy to promote it here in the Portuguese American Hour. I also wanted to talk a little bit about the banquets, the one of the main events. So they're all great events, but one of the main events that brings together hundreds of people to the church hall there at Interlock at the Portuguese Parish. Besides the scholarships, besides that wonderful event that happens within the event, and that is all the different organizations coming together for education and to offer our students more opportunities into education, you also the foundation chooses to pay tribute to a few people. Tell us a little bit about how that process is and how you choose and what you choose, actually. Basically, I know that there are several different people that are honored every year.
Yes. So we choose a student of the year, an educator of the year, a citizen of the year, and a business person of the year. These are basically people whose contributions to the Portuguese community are being recognized at this moment. We take nominations from the community. Mm-hmm. If people would like to nominate, we're starting immediately with nominations. We usually stop about a month or so before, a little bit more than a month before the actual event. But through PortugueseEducationFoundation.org or through our Facebook page, you can make nominations. Like I said, these are people who are a big part of the Portuguese community, mm-hmm. Portuguese or Portuguese descendants who are involved, and people that we would like to recognize.
And it's interesting.
Promoting our language.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, I've been, as I mentioned, I've been fortunate and honored to attend many of these foundation banquets. And when I first started attending in the 1998, 1999 probably, I remember that the first few years were mostly high school students who had, at one time there was a young man here from the area of Hanford who was the student of the year because he actually started a Portuguese club at Hanford High School. There had never been one there for many, many years, and he did all the work by himself and got the advisor and everything else. But lately we have seen how education has grown in the valley and obviously in the Turlock area and throughout the valley from Bakersfield to Sacramento, that now we see people being honored as student of the year, not just high school students, but people who are finishing up their master's or their PhDs.
Exactly, yes. And it's great to see how the Portuguese community has evolved in the sense of education, how much more dedicated we've become to it. And it's although we still recognize this year, we recognize somebody with a bachelor's degree, there is such a great pool. Mm-hmm. And we have such amazing students and people who are so dedicated to their educational growth, who contribute a lot to the Portuguese community, that it has become difficult, actually, to choose. We have amazing people out there and amazing students. So you're right. We have definitely, we keep looking. I mean, and it might be that we have a high school student who's done something that's so amazing that we have to recognize
Sure.
But there are definitely great people out there who are doing just amazing things.
So, Edwina, as we talk about the foundation, also, we didn't do probably a proper introduction, but you are an immigrant, so you came. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your personal history from, I believe, the Azores. I know the Azores, to California.
Well, I was 16 when I moved to California. I moved with my parents. My parents stayed until I finished college, and then they went back to Chisaita. They're both from São Jorge, but I was born and raised in Chisaita. And
the best island, right?
Of course. No doubt about it.
We can't say that in many areas in Turlock, but we can say it over the year. they're all beautiful. But anyway, so you came over at the age of 16, did your education, and then basically went into teaching Portuguese.
I did. Mm-hmm. I didn't plan on it. Mm-hmm. When I went into teaching, I was going to teach Spanish, and then I was asked to teach Portuguese at Fresno State, and then I was asked to teach Portuguese at Hillmar High School. I've been at Hillmar High School for 17 years, so obviously I must have enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting because at the time I was actually kind of pulling away from anything Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I was in college, it really wasn't much of a need for Portuguese teachers, so it really didn't even cross my mind to become one. So that kind of just happened.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of fell into my lap, and it was, it's been amazing, because what's better than being able to teach your own culture and being able to really, truly relate your own experiences to what you're teaching?
And I know that
I enjoy it.
I know, and you're a great teacher, and I thank you for all your work, and most importantly, the students thank you, and their parents, and obviously the school administrators as well. But I know that you also keep in contact, and you visit the Azores and your birth island of Terceira as often as you can. What are some of the differences, as to end our conversation here in the next couple of minutes that we have, what are some of the differences that you see in the Azores and in Terceira in particular, from when you left there at the age of 16 to the last couple of years?
Ooh, you left the toughest question for the end, huh?
Not tough, but I mean, I'm sure the island is different, obviously. We all know it's different, but some pleasant things, obviously. The islands have had a great progress.
Yes, and it has. All of them have, but I noticed the site itself has always been pretty modernized.
Mm-hmm.
But not to an extent where when you go there, you still feel like you're in a special place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a part of any, you can't compare it to anything else. And to me, the best thing about Cidade is really the history of it and how beautifully maintained it's been.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of pride, and I see a lot more pride in the island now that I'm away from it, because when I go back, I see how people care to maintain their traditions but at the same time evolve. Mm-hmm. I think everything, as far as the commercial end of it, as far as the residential end, I think people have really tried, and they have a pride in what they have, and they've really tried to keep things up, and it's a wonderful place.
That's a great way to interview. Yeah, it's a great way to interview the conversation. It's a great place, and hopefully all of our listeners will have a chance to visit the island of the islands where they came from, or especially many of our listeners are second, third, and fourth generation, the islands of their ancestors. Edwina, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for your work with the foundation. Thank you for your work with the Portuguese language at Hillmar High School, and good luck to you and everything that you do in the future. We're here for you as well. Thank you. Appreciate
it. Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. That was Edwina Azevedo, who teaches Portuguese at wonderful Hillmar High School. Hillmar has an excellent Portuguese program, actually starting in kindergarten all the way up until the high school. You can do immersion programs in the elementary level and in Portuguese and English, and then you can be Edwina's student in high school. She has a complete program, Portuguese 1, 2, 3, and 4, and it is really kudos to her for all of the work that she has been doing with the Portuguese language in the Hillmar area, and also with the culture, with the Education Foundation. That is a very important foundation, because it has given literally, again, like we've mentioned others, as we with the Luso American Education Foundation, the Portuguese Fraternal Society of America, the Education Foundation for Central California, and some of the other local organizations. They have done a wonderful job in doing different events, doing what we like to do, which is to eat and to have a good time, and at the same time pay a decent amount for a ticket, and knowing that that ticket is going to go for a good cause to help a student. You know, sometimes it's not much. Sometimes it's only, you know, $500 or $750 or $1,000, but hey, we know books are expensive, but if you can get a scholarship of $1,000 and it pays your books for that semester, that's great. You know, so every little bit helps when you're going to college. So again, kudos to Edwina Azevedo, and a big shout out to her and a big thank you for all she does for education here in the Central Valley. And I think it's time for us to go to our first break. So we'll be right back with another segment of the Portuguese American Hour.
Stay tuned.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
And welcome back to the Portuguese American Hour, or if you are just joining us, welcome. We are heading into our second segment here.
Yes, Happy New Year, everyone.
Oh, Happy New Year.
Happy 2020 to everyone. Yes, as we get down to the last few hours of 2019, we are going to have a musical break. Music is always fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, our conversation with Professor Edwina Azevedo brings us to this next segment very, very well, which is she mentioned in her talk, in our conversation, that many students she has had have become fado singers. It's kind of interesting. Most of these young men and women, of course, are born in the United States. Some of them came from the Azores, but at a very, very young age. Most of the young fadistas that we have in California are actually first generation born here. So their parents may have come, and some of them, even their parents, came at a very young age. And so they learned Portuguese, either through their parents or also, you know, perfected a little bit through school. And there's love for this national music of Portugal, for this soul music of Portugal, actually was born here in the United States of America. It wasn't something that they brought from Portugal, because even the ones who were immigrants came at the age of two or three. So it's not like they really knew fado.
Yeah.
And one of the voices that we're going to hear, the voice we're going to hear today, is actually a young man who is here from California, who is very, very talented, sings at many fado houses throughout the communities here. So some of our Portuguese American festers will have fado, and we'll be talking about them as they come up, you know, here in the next few months, including this event on the evening of the 25th at Interlock. And David Garcia, or David Garcia in Portuguese, lives in the Northern California in the San Jose area. He is one of our, and from my perspective, one of our best male fadistas outside of Portugal. And he has also not just, does shows just not here in the States. He also has sang in many places in the Azores, and also at some fado houses in Lisbon as well. He's been invited to sing there. And so let's listen to our friend David Garcia with a fado called Eu Sou Fadista. I am a fadista.
Quando nasci para a vida, trouxe ao meu lado esta ânsia desmedida de vida e fado. Cresci, amei e castigo o meu destino e o fado amigo cresceu comigo desde menino. Não nasci na madragoa, mas sou fadista. Nem sequer sou de Lisboa, mas sou fadista. Fadista é qualquer pessoa e em qualquer lado. Que importa ser americano ou açoriano se nasci para o fado? Que importa ser americano ou açoriano se nasci para o fado? Se na vida amor existe, fado é ternura. Sem amor o fado é triste e a vida é dura. Mas se desponta a minha esperança de ser amado, criança pode haver fado. Não nasci na Madragoa, mas sou fadista. Nem sequer sou de Lisboa, mas sou fadista. Fadista em qualquer pessoa e em qualquer lar. Que importa ser americano ou açoriano se nasci para o fado? Que importa ser americano ou açoriano se nasci para o fado? Fadista é qualquer pessoa e em qualquer lado. Que importa ser americano ou açoriano se nasci para o fado? Que importa ser americano ou açoriano se nasci para o fado?
And that was our friend, David Garcia, a fadista here from California, lives in Northern California, actually was a student at San Jose High School, a student of my colleague and friend, Professor Zé Luiz da Silva, who actually was a guest here on the Portuguese American Hour about 5 weeks ago. And David has a wonderful voice, and he's doing great things with Fado, even though he is, you know, a few thousand miles away, about 5,000 miles away or more from Portuguese. But Fado continues to live here in California. So to talk a little bit maybe about some foods, since we are in the holiday season.
That's always nice.
Yeah, foods is always a good thing. So, you know, there's Christmas that we just had, of course, in Portugal. People, I talked about the bacalhau, the codfish, being very, very popular. A lot of times for Christmas and for the New Year's, people also do what we do here for Thanksgiving, which is turkey. And it's something called, we'd like to call it Peru recheado, so it's kind of a different turkey. It's not just turkey. It's basically in certain regions of Portugal. Turkey is very, very popular for New Year's. Basically, the turkey is stuffed. Usually, the turkey is stuffed with mashed potatoes and beets. And we call it, as I said, Peru recheado. The recipe for the turkey stuffing can be different from house to house, from region to region. Some people also serve it with vegetables. Others make the stuffing with meat. But it is very, very popular around the holidays, which is something that we usually associate with Thanksgiving. We don't have Thanksgiving in Portugal. So we do turkey for the holidays. The bacalhau, as I mentioned, the salted codfish, is a typical Christmas dinner, but it is also used a lot of times at New Year's. Bacalhau com todos, which is the most traditional, which is the bacalhau with the egg, with it's all boiled. So bacalhau with eggs, with chickpeas or garbanzos, with carrots, with collard greens, and with baked potatoes. But then a lot of times people had bacalhau left over. Okay, and salted codfish, of course, lasts a while. That's why it's salted, so it can, before refrigeration.
Yeah.
And so people will do something a lot of times for the New Year's, which they call roupa velha de bacalhau, or meaning old clothes of bacalhau. What does that mean, old clothes? Well, it's just using the bacalhau and incorporating all that's left over into another dish, and sometimes or called codfish au clos, because of the colors, because of the ingredients, and because of it's just basically leftovers that you do something else with. Uh-huh. And so these are the potatoes, the cabbage, and the codfish are cut into smaller pieces. They're sautéed. So these are all leftovers because the potatoes and the cabbage and the bacalhau are usually used for the bacalhau com todos. And it's sautéed in a pan with olive oil. It's a great way to avoid wasting, of course, any food. And Portuguese people don't like to do that. since people make a brand new dish from it with leftovers from the Christmas dinner. And it's sometimes used the day after Christmas or way into the New Year's. Another thing that's very typical for this time of the year in some regions of Portugal is cabrito assado no forno. Or basically, cabrito assado no forno is baby goats. Okay? Lots of Latin cultures use baby goat. And so it's oven roasted with potatoes. It's a very, very traditional Portuguese dish for this time of the year. mainly in mainland Portugal, but also it can be used in the Azores as well. And then, of course, I mentioned this also, rabanadas, which is basically a way of saying French toast. That is also very, very much used in Portugal for a dessert. So these are some of the dishes in the Azores. Torresmos, or marinated pork spare ribs, are also used around the New Year's, because mm-hmm. usually the killing of the pig had happened around this time, or will happen, or some people have some leftovers. So we're going to listen to David Garcia a little bit more. He is our featured artist for today. And here's another fado from David Garcia, who lives in Northern California. Let's continue wishing everyone a Happy New Year.
Nossa Senhora faz meia com linha feita de luz. O novelo é lua cheia e as meias são para Jesus. O novelo é lua cheia e as meias são para Jesus. Quando a noite é escura e bela, diz-se lá na minha aldeia que à janela de uma estrela Nossa Senhora faz meia.
And that song is called Nossa Senhora Faz Meia. And guess who's singing it? I mentioned it earlier on. It's David Garcia, who is one of our best fadistas outside of Portugal, and even inside of Portugal. He is one of our best fadistas, period. And we are honored and delightful to have David Garcia on the line with us. He resides in Northern California in the San Jose area, in the Bay Area, and he sings fado throughout the communities here in California and other parts of the U.S. and also in the Azores, and has sung also in mainland Portugal in some fado houses. Welcome, my friend.
Mr. Dinis Borges, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Oh, pleasure's all mine. It's not every day that you have a fadista here in the Portuguese American Hour. And a fadista as good as you are. I mean that. You know that. I've said that before, so I'm not... you've heard it, so don't you know.
I
already
appreciate that. Thank you.
And let's talk a little bit about that. I know that you're very talented. I know that you love your Portuguese traditions, your Azorean traditions and cultures, everything from the folklore to the band, to the carnival, to all of the different traditions. But tell us a little bit about your story. Your family, I believe, is from the island of Pico. When did they come over? And tell us a little bit about who David Garcia is.
Yeah, well, both my parents married back in Mavelina in Pico of the Azores, and they moved here. They actually had their 46th anniversary yesterday.
Well, congratulations to them.
For 46 years.
Tell them put a bunch for me, please.
Thank you. Will do. They immigrated shortly after. So they came here in 1974 and then started their lives here in San Jose, California. And then a few years later, 1980, here I come. Was born in December. I actually had my birthday this month. I grew up very involved in the Portuguese community. My dad already played in the Portuguese marching band in San Jose. Shortly after, I think I was about 12 or 13 is when I joined. At that same time, I started learning how to play mandolin and joined the folklore group at that time. And then several years later, just became very active with Carnaval. And
how did you transition into fado? How did that happen?
So fado, it's an interesting story. Fado, I always loved fado as a kid. We always listened to it at home. And I always had dreams and imaginations that one day I would be singing. And it wasn't until 2010 or 2009 at a festa or a dinner here in San Jose that El Beirão and many others Dos Beirão said, oh, we want you to sing a song. It's a fado, and we're going to do a, it was a variety act of local youth. And I started singing, and I sang that first song that night, and then one of our local musicians that played for Fobs heard it, and it was like, yeah, you don't have a choice now. You need to show up to practice on Monday. We're going to have practice, and you need to start singing Fobs, you know, not professionally, but, like, as a true fadista. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. yeah, I met with them. It was Helder Kudavaleida, Manoel Shubad, and João Kudavaleida. Met with them, and it just took off like wildfire. I had my first performance in 2011 in, I think it was Sausalito, actually, if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken. Not Sausalito, Sonoma. Mm-hmm. San Francisco, Mission San Francisco in Sonoma. And since then, it just took off. So it was something I always loved. You know, I always loved Fado, always thought about doing it, but never thought it would be something more than just a dream. I never actually thought I could make it a reality. And since then, it's just been one thing after another. I've had the opportunity to go very far with it. So, mm-hmm. several countries.
Mm-hmm. Tell us where you've been. Tell us where you've been besides California. Where have you been able to sing Fado?
I've been throughout all California, north and south. I've been able to perform in the East Coast, in the Boston, Massachusetts, Rhode Island area. And I'm actually going to be there next month on a tour with Angela Brit, who's a good friend of mine who also sings Fado. We'll be performing out there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in New Bedford, Pawtucket, Rhode Island, and then Lowell, Massachusetts.
Fantastic.
And I've performed in Mississauga in Canada. I've been to Hawaii, performed 2 years ago in Hawaii for the Portuguese community there, celebrating 140, I think it was, mm-hmm, 140 mm-hmm. years of mm-hmm. the Portuguese settling in Hawaii. I've been to mainland Portugal several times. This summer, I actually performed both in Pico and in São Jorge, which was really the only reason why I went to Portugal this summer, because I received a contract to go out there and sing. And yeah, it's just been, you know, go, go, go. And I've had the opportunity to already come out with two CDs.
Correct.
That are playing in pretty much any country that resides a Portuguese. It is there. On their radio stations, I'm on iTunes, Spotify. It's like legitimately there.
Yeah.
So it's something I'm very proud of, and just never thought I would get to where I'm at today.
Well, we're happy that you are, and I think this is only the beginning. I think you'll continue to foster for many years. We're going to take a little short break, David. We're going to continue talking to you about Fado and actually listen to another one of your music presentations. We've had two of them already today, and we'll continue talking a little bit about your experience with Fado. Talk a little bit about Fado here in the communities and also your experience with Fado in Lisbon. I know that was special for you as well. So if you'll hang on, we'll be right back with our last segment of the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University of Fresno, and every day here on Multicultural Radio 1600 AM from 4 to 5 p.m. We'll be right back.
Listen to the Portuguese American Hour on Multicultural 1600 AM. Hear in-depth conversation about Portuguese culture and learn everything happening in the valley within the Portuguese community from 4 to 5 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Na minha casa entrada tenho a Bíblia sagrada aberta à luz do dia. Também tenho com encanto a coroa do Espírito Santo e a imagem de Maria. Também tenho com encanto a coroa do Espírito Santo e a imagem de Maria. A Bíblia é um tesouro que nem em prata nem ouro igual valor tenho visto. Eu direi aos filhos meus que é a palavra de Deus e a doutrina de Cristo.
And welcome back to the Portuguese American Hour. I'm Justice Neves here with Dennis Borges. You're coming out of the musical selection of David Garcia, who?
That's right, who is on the line with us. David Garcia, a fadista who resides in Northern California, who has sang in many different places as we were talking to David right before the break. A little bit about Fado. I know that, as you mentioned, David, you basically it's been almost 10 years since you have dedicated yourself to Fado. We have to have 2011 is coming up pretty soon, in 2021, that is. So we'll have to have a big celebration. The singing Fado in the communities and singing Fado in Lisbon. Tell me about that experience.
It's very different. I mean, even within the communities, it depends on which community that is. Speaking to the Portuguese community, when we perform in the Portuguese community, it's a familiar community. So They love it. They appreciate it. It can sometimes be a little bit more intimidating because they know the words.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no... Sometimes they sing along, and so the pressure's there to impress and to be sure to put on a good performance and, you know, not to forget your lyrics or anything like that. But it's always very appreciative to see people that you grew up with and now seeing you on stage, watching you perform, singing Fado. It's a great experience. The other type of communities that I am singing in right now, which is what I'm really trying to drive towards, is the American community.
Right.
The community that, they've been to Portugal once or twice and have heard Fado. They have gone to a restaurant and heard it once a couple of years ago. And then they come back to relive those moments of their trip to Lisbon.
Mm-hmm.
One good example is I perform every 3 months at the Portuguese restaurant in San Francisco called Uma Casa, where I'd say about 80% of the attendance there are people who aren't involved in the Portuguese community, people who are not Portuguese, but have heard a little bit about Portugal and a little bit about Fado. And so that's always a wonderful experience because they're so attentive, they're so appreciative, and most of them don't even understand the language, but they're moved by the music and just by the expressions and the emotions that we portray during the actual singing of the Fado. And then, of course, singing in Lisbon is just all in itself, completely out of this world. I've had the pleasure to do that twice already, and it's hard to explain. I always refer to Amalia's brief description of what Fado is. You can't explain it. Fado is, it doesn't have an explanation. Fado is a sentiment. You feel it. And in Lisbon, you definitely get that. It's an out-of-body experience. You're there. You're singing in the walls, in between the four walls where some of the greats from years ago have sung. And so it's a humbling experience. That's all I can really say.
And as you mentioned a little while ago, you have recorded two different albums, two different CDs, or nowadays everybody just buys this online, you know, with the, I'm still the old school CDs, but, you know, the two different albums. And how did that come about? I mean, you sing a lot of Fados, how does one pick the Fados? Was it basically an easy choice, or did you have to spend some time at this, you know, which Fados am I going to dedicate myself to?
It does take some time. With the first CD, my goal was to pick tunes that people haven't heard in a long time. You know, we have a lot of the new younger generation of Fado coming through with newer music, new originals from, like, you know, Marisa, Anamora, Camané, Carminho, that are reviving Fado with newer songs. And I wanted to go back and pick out the older songs, these songs that people haven't heard in a long time, just so with the first album they can assimilate listening to that old song that they haven't heard in 20, 30, 40 years, and be like, oh my God, David's singing it. And then they can associate the two, and it makes it more relatable. With the second CD, that was a little different. That one I really wanted to do, also, again, some more older Fados that have been forgotten, but revive them and add a different element. So on my last CD, I have cello, I have an accordion, I have a piano. So it's subtle, because I tend to see myself as being very traditionalist when it comes to Fado and the Fado that I sing. I don't like to venture out and kind of, and I say this with no disrespect, jazzify it. Because we're seeing a lot of the Fado that's coming out nowadays, it's more jazzified. Mm-hmm. And I like the traditional kind. And so with this album, I added these other instruments and other elements, but just the smell of it. So you can hear it. It's not as profound in the song, and it doesn't take away from the originality of it being still traditional fado. And I also took the opportunity to introduce a couple of new original tunes. And so I wrote two songs on this latest CD called Falsa Viva. Mm-hmm. Falsa Viva is also another song that's there that's an original song that a good friend of mine from the island of Terceira wrote. So I've got in total, I think it's five mm-hmm. original tunes. And so that was the goal I did with this CD. So it is a project that takes some time, some thinking. I mean, I started with about 25 fados and had to bring that down to 12. Mm-hmm. So it was not an easy choice, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you... Please continue.
The songs, obviously, that I sung on both albums have to be songs that I can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I first started singing, I couldn't necessarily sing about Moriria and how I loved Moriria when I had never been to Moriria.
Right.
And it wasn't until after I went to Moriria where I can now appreciate it and be, yes, I've stepped on the cobblestones of the streets of Moriria. I've sung in the restaurants in Bairro Alto. And so now when I do listen to Fab that talks about Bairro Alto, who was all from, all that stuff, I can definitely sing it and now relate to it. Because with Fado, you definitely have to relate to what you're singing in order to portray that emotion that it has to offer.
How do you see Fado in the communities? How do you see it in California? I think it's taken a giant leap from 20 years ago to today. Different venues. First of all, my question would be twofold. But first of all, how do you see Fado in the community? And second of all, how do you see Fado integrating into American mainstream, such as these bold steps that you are taking?
Well... Fado right now, like the Portuguese say, tá na moda. It's in style now.
Right.
So not only in Portugal, but here as well, and all throughout California and Canada, mm-hmm. we're getting more and more younger generation, people of my generation, people that are born here, people who have never even been to Lisbon, who have just been drawn and captivated by Fado itself. And here in California alone, I'd say there's pretty close to a dozen young. I don't want to say youngsters because they're not youngsters anymore. These are people in their 20s, 30s, 40s mm-hmm. who are singing Fado with a passion and a drive and a tremendous amount of talent. And so listening to that and seeing how much it's flourishing here,
mm-hmm.
it's great to know that it's got a future here for sure,
mm-hmm.
Yet alone in Portugal. Because I've been lucky enough to sing with several fadistas from Portugal, and it's flourishing just as much there as it is here. And so, yeah, it's definitely a tradition that I don't see suffering very much, like for the future.
Right, but as you said, some of the things that you're trying to do, and I consider those bold steps, which is to go beyond the Portuguese American community. And obviously, in the Portuguese American community, it's important that we live our own traditions. That that we make Fado and some of the other artistic traditions part of what we do when we celebrate a festa, any kind of festa. But some of these events that you're doing, whether it be at Antelmo's restaurant, Uma Casa, a magnificent place in San Francisco, or at some of these other venues that you've done in mainstream areas in Sausalito, anything else, do you see that there is, first of all, how has that been received? And second of all, do you see that as a possible next step for Fado in California, making it part of the mainstream music?
Oh, definitely. I'm seeing it grow more and more in the American community.
Mm-hmm.
Even so, when fadistas from Portugal come here, certain fadistas mm-hmm. that are at a different level, they come and perform strictly at the American venue.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to the Center of Performing Arts in San Francisco. They go to the Gallo Winery in Modesto.
Mm-hmm.
It's venues that are non-Portuguese, and it's addressing the non-Portuguese community, which is exactly what we're trying to do, mm-hmm. so Fado gets more known.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't only a couple of years ago that Cavalcada was awarded a Grammy for Fado, mm-hmm. and that's amazing. I was humbled enough to have my album accepted to be nominated for a Grammy, and I was part of the nomination list and was voted on. Unfortunately, I didn't make it, but just to even get that far to be recognized by the Grammy committee is astonishing.
Sure it is.
And so not only me, but like Angela Brice did as well when she came out with her album. And so it just shows that all the work and talent that exists here is not being forgotten within the American community. And I think little by little, when we do these little performances, especially at Uma Casa or in Sonoma, it opens up some doors, and, mm-hmm. and it has, mm-hmm. which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in Uma Casa, we've done several shows now for 2 years, mm-hmm. and it's sold out each show.
Mm-hmm. And you see within Californians of all ethnicities, we're such a rich mosaic, human mosaic, multicultural state in par excellence. You see different ethnicities kind of enjoying this music and kind of being taken by awe, you know, when they listen to it.
Oh, completely.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some shows that I've done where I'm singing. And I see people crying, and they have no idea what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
but they can just feel it through the music and through the way the words are being sung and expressed. They just feel that emotion, and that's exactly what the goal is with FAB. Mm-hmm. That's what it does.
Future plans. So two albums. What are we planning, another album?
Yeah, I don't know yet. Still too soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, music is a tough career. Thankfully, I mean, this is not my full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
I do not sing full-time. People say, if I ask me if I do this as a profession, and I say no, but it's a professional hobby.
Correct.
It's more than just a regular hobby. It's something I definitely give my utmost dedication and respect towards, and I don't take it lightly.
Mm-hmm. I know
but,
that.
But, you know, the life of a musician and trying to get your name out there is no easy task.
Mm-hmm.
The finance behind putting an album like this is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of time, a lot of work, a lot of effort, and a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so with my latest CD and even the first one, I also came out with a video because it gets you out there. That it's easy to put it on social media, get your name out there, get recognized. And that's helped me quite well.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, it's still early. It was released in 2018. It was just last year. Maybe we'll look down another year or so before we start thinking about a next one.
Sure. So 2021, maybe 2022. It's just around the corner.
You just want to stamp that date on it, don't you?
David, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We appreciate you. We appreciate who you are as a person and who you are as a Fadishtan. As you know, I think the world of you. I think that you are an outstanding human being and even a better Fadishtan, if that's both possible, but that is true.
I think that you
contribute immensely to the Portuguese-American community in California. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your dedication to Fado. And thank you for always being professional about it. I think that's very, very important. And we have just a few minutes left in the Portuguese American Hour. So, again, thank you for taking the time to be with us. And we will spend the next few minutes actually having our listeners listen to another one of your songs. So, best of luck to you. And we'll hope to see you soon here in the Valley sometime.
Thank you so much, Denise.
Appreciate it.
A great supporter. Appreciate it. And Happy New Year to you and everyone else.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that is David Garcia, who is a Fadista, who is an outstanding young man, who is actually doing lots of work for Fado, who's involved in many other areas. As I mentioned in the intro, he is involved in Portuguese folklore group. He was involved in band, Portuguese marching bands. He is also He also does great work with the Portuguese Carnival dances, which we'll be talking about here shortly. But who's above all is a good Fadista, one of our best Fadistas outside of Portugal, and even within Portugal, he really dedicates himself to this music. So let's listen to a little bit of his song before another one of his songs before we say goodbye on this edition of the Portuguese American Hour.
Ando a lembrar-me de ti no dia a dia, para não esquecer, escrevi em toda a parte te escrevia. Nos muros arruinados, nas pedras negras do chão, escrevi na alma dos fados a tua recordação. Mas falta escrever na lua, no sol, no céu e nas estrelas. Meus braços não chegam lá. Falta pôr na minha rua o teu nome em letras belas, tão belas como não há. As aves no seu voar escrevem cantando, foi eu que as fui ensinando para não me verem chorar. Gravei as tuas mentiras nas guitarras e nas veias, escrevi no ar que respiras, na esperança de que me leias, mas falta.
Listen to David Garcia, David Garcia from Northern California, a fadista. Thanks to him for spending some time with us. Thanks to Edwina Azevedo, Portuguese language teacher, also for spending some time with us. Thanks to Justice and to Esmeralda for all of their great work.
Thank you. This
edition of the Portuguese American Hour. We're just about ready to say goodbye. I wanted to mention to our Portuguese American community, those who are involved in the Portuguese celebrations, the Portuguese festivals, the Portuguese events throughout the valley, don't forget to contract some of these great fadistas. I think it's important that we continue these traditions. We have quite a few of them. We have about 8 to 10 fadistas here in California, and it's good to have these fadistas perform at our venues and to promote our own. So do contract David Garcia and all the others throughout the valley and throughout the states at your next festa. It'd be wonderful to see every single Portuguese festa with a Fado night, because it is really the soul music of Portugal and identifies the Portuguese better than any other music that we have. Thank you all for listening. Happy New Year to all of you. Please continue listening to the Portuguese American Hour, a product of the Portuguese Beyond Borders Institute at California State University, Fresno. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Thank you all. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Este fue un programa pagado y solo refleja la opinión de sus anunciantes. Ahora continúa disfrutando de la programación de 1600 AM.